This is Catherine O'Connell and welcome to Lawyer on Air. If you are looking for inspirational stories about women in law, then this is the podcast for you. Join me and my lawyer ladies as we enjoy a glass of wine after a hard day at work and talk about the world of women in law. It's my passion to share stories of amazing legal ladies who are working as in-house legal counsel, who have law firm roles, who are leading on boards, and who are doing law differently. From time to time, I will also invite special guests on the show to share their insights on legal recruiting and tips for getting hired as a successful lawyer in Japan. I hope you will enjoy getting to know these amazing women who I am so proud to share a profession with. I'm glad you're here and I hope you enjoy the show. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Lawyer on Air podcast. In this episode, I share with you another diverse story of a woman lawyer working in Japan. I'm Catherine, the host of the show, and I'm a lawyer based in Tokyo for more than 20 years, and I love helping unlock the wisdom of the stories that women lawyers never tell. If I could leave future generations of lawyers with one piece of wisdom, guidance, or learning from my career, it would be: try to do what you like to do and are interested in. It's very hard to find out what you were interested in at the beginning of your career. Don't worry, that's a natural thing to happen. Spend the first several years doing one thing, and then several years after that doing something else. And then, with intention, you'll know what to do in your specialization as a lawyer. Well, those are the words of my guest, Madoka Shimada. Madoka is a partner in the Tokyo office of Nishimura & Asahi. She is a standout woman lawyer in the Tokyo legal community, and she focuses on the antitrust and competition law area, providing a broad range of advice in the field of competition law, amongst other things in cross-border transactions. She's a graduate not only from Harvard University, but also from the University of Tokyo. Madoka serves as a member of one of the committees in the firm, which has the role of planning various measures for training associates. And she also serves as the head of the editorial board of the Thought Leadership newsletter, a new style of newsletter in the firm. You can check out Madoka's full bio in the show notes. On this episode, Madoka shares how it's okay to work in an area that's not clearly defined, and where after graduation from study, you still wonder what you want to do. It's living in this grey area that can actually lead you to the kind of law that you want to do. She also shares her tips for being a successful young lawyer, and one of them is working as a team member and supporting others in the team in a genuine way. Go ahead and listen to the podcast to hear the other tips that she gives for young and aspiring lawyers. And Madoka also shares about an amazing initiative she's involved in, providing SNS advice to young children online to help them with their struggles and their challenges. And she also shares her favorite book, which happens to be one that I have, as well as sharing something about her you might not know, which I think we discovered right at the end may well have been the trigger for her to become a lawyer. And we'll also hear some other fun facts. Let's get into it. Hello, Madoka, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you for inviting for this opportunity.
You're welcome. Most welcome indeed. And I always start with the same question to every guest. If we were meeting up in person, where would we go to? Do you have a favorite wine bar or restaurant that you like to go to? And what would you choose from the menu?
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. Actually, I'm not, you know, I'm not drinking. Sorry about that. But I love, you know, sweet things. Ooh. So I'd like to go to the, you know, Japanese style of the confectionery cafe. You know that Toraya in Akasaka. There's this very beautiful place to enjoy your, you know, Japanese confectionery. Very beautiful, and like Amitsu or Kuzuki or beautiful Japanese confectionery.
Yes, I've heard of Toraya, but I didn't know that they only served Japanese confectionery. That's really interesting. So what's your favorite that you would choose?
Oh, yes. Well, for this try, very traditional. So you can try their kind of design, very beautiful Japanese confectionery, but my favorite is kuzukiri.
What's that?
You know that? It's like a pasta. That is a little bit of pasta dipping that the sweet mitsu syrup.
Oh, I see. Sounds like it's going to be very sweet. So probably need to have matcha with that.
Oh yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, is that the best combination?
Best combination, yeah, matcha or sencha
Ah,
or
sencha.
hojicha or whatever. They
Yeah,
have nice
wow.
Japanese tea as well.
Good. Well, I'm not someone who goes and has many Japanese, traditional Japanese sweets. So perhaps I could do that adventure with you sometime and you can guide me on the menu and pick the right
Yeah.
combination. Thank you so much for that information. That's so good. Well, let's get into it. And I'm just going to ask you a little bit about your background, maybe even going back to when you were a child or a young adult. What kinds of things were you dreaming about, thinking about then, what you wanted to do in the future?
I was like really a fan of reading books when I was a child, and also I was like called like a chatterbox,
Ah, yes.
Oshaberi
Oshaberi Madoka. Oh, that was your name.
Yeah, that was my nickname at very younger days, like in 3 or 4, and that combination. And I like social studies and social issues and history and et cetera. And that makes me to kind of a dream of like a kind of a journalist or a writer, and the later on the lawyer, maybe a kind of good occupation for me.
Oh, how did that idea of lawyer come up then? You're thinking about journalists and writers, and there's very much part of being a lawyer is to write and think. Did someone help you to think, why don't you become a lawyer? Or where did that start to come up for you?
Not really from someone close to me, because there's no lawyer or legal related occupation in my family. So probably the my parents always saying that, can you watch a TV drama, Seven Women Lawyers?
Oh, was that a drama in
Yeah,
some kind?
drama. It is.
Oh.
I was in a junior high or high school.
And was
So I
it
don't know. I don't
what
know,
was the
but
title in Japanese? Is it Shichinin no
Shichinin no Onna Benkoshi.
Onnabengoshi? I wonder if it's on
Female
YouTube.
lawyers.
Yes, how interesting. They should do an updated version of that, I think, right now. Wow,
Right now,
so
yes,
that
updated version, yes.
maybe that influenced you, that you were watching TV, reading the books, thinking about these sort of social study history things at school, and it all came together and you thought about law.
And also the my father is an economist, and then I didn't want to be in the same field with his field, because in that case he will make it too much advice on me.
It's so funny, isn't it? Either you want to be the same career as your father or mother or somebody like that, or you don't. It's very
Yes.
interesting that some people are quite black and white on that. It can influence you positively or I'm not going to do that. How interesting. So you did actually take up law then. You went off to Tokyo University to do law. Tell us about that, because that's a very difficult exam, isn't it? To get into a university in Japan is hard.
I'm sorry, yeah, but it is a kind of enjoyable to tackle with exam at the Tokyo University, because it's a kind of interesting. You can write longer responses to the history questions and et cetera. And I was so bad at mathematics. It has a problem, but except for that, I generally enjoyed.
Oh, so for the Tokyo University entrance exam, you are allocated more time to write certain responses on the questions.
Yeah, for the Japanese
Really?
entrance exam, many people take that exam, and so generally the private university, they don't use a lot of written responses, just a, markup or just a short answer.
I
But for
see.
the national universities, like in Tokyo University or Kyoto universities, and they tend to have their applicant to write like in longer passage.
Oh, very interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that difference. That's really interesting. What did you like about studying law at Tokyo University?
Law is the entry to law is something sometimes it's not very interesting, but I more kind of enjoy like a background or how to make the law and the connection to the history in each country is like more kind of background type of studies. In any case, to be a lawyer, you should endure to kind of memorize 13 things, and which is not enjoyable, definitely.
But was there something that stood out for you that, I quite liked that. That was fun.
Well, not legal. When I was in college days, I was like an enjoying going abroad and having an organizing conference with non-Japanese students and communicating with students from other universities, such extracurricular activities.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. I
So,
can understand why. It's so hard to get in. And then once you're in, the study is one thing, but being involved in the student community is a great thing to do.
yes, and the one thing that probably is a really good experience for me is that the seminar that I the first or second year of the college, led by the lawyer, was really renowned for the human rights things and the kind of field doing field work.
Right. So that was interesting for you. And then when you finally finished law school, you went and joined a law firm, I believe.
Oh yes, in the Japanese system, you should go to the Legal Apprentice, no, in
Yeah.
institute,
A print, yeah,
and
that's
then
right.
yes, and
Yes.
after that, and join a law firm.
Right.
So,
Can you remember your first day when you started or your first year of being there, or is it a bit of a blur for you now?
yes, the first law firm I joined is not Nishimura Asahi. I joined a middle-sized firm and mainly doing a finance law. I was like in a shock on the first day that I couldn't understand any word in the contract or documents using for the kind of finance transactions.
Right, and they don't sort of teach that at university. You're
No.
getting taught those certain things which you need to know, and then you come into your first job and it's a mystery. Isn't that
Oh, yes.
strange, right? That disconnection between what you studied and then you get on the real job and it's completely different. It must
Oh
be,
yes.
yeah, it's a little bit, and I think for anyone listening, they're like, well, isn't law school the same as when you go and, to your first job? Isn't it the same? Surely. But actually, it's not the same, is it?
Not the same, not the same, definitely.
No.
And even for the Legal Institute, Legal Apprentice training, that is fit to the Japanese traditional type of, lawyers. Work like litigation, be giving that advice to the for the ordinary people. But if you go to the kind of finance, that'd be very specialized. And at that time, no lecture or no training and gave at the legal institute or college. And at the time, there's no law school in Japan in the old era.
Yes, pr the previous era. And so what you had to really learn on the job then.
Yes, I kind of on the job training.
Do you remember something that was a real challenge for you then? Was it just all of that, trying to get to know what words meant and how to do the system in the law firm? Or was there something else that you can think of that was a challenge, or even something that was really good that happened to you during that first time at that first job that you had?
Yeah, the challenge that I remember that the first law firm that I got in, the senior lawyers who can train us, the younger one. So you should be very kind of directly facing with clients and consider by themselves and make the decisions. That's kind
Yeah, actually,
of.
that's interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like that's how I almost was. We get a little bit of instruction, but not much, and just in front of the client. And then after that, you would go to the partner and talk about what happened and then what should I do next. Was it like that? Yeah.
Yeah, but at that time that the partner didn't instruct me to what to do next. You should consider by yourself.
Oh, wow. You've gone through like the deep end of the pool you've dived into to learn how to do this. Has it been quite good for you, though, to start at that very deep end and try and work things out yourself? Do you think looking back, that was hard, but actually it was quite good for me to try and work it out myself?
Yes, if
Yeah.
I recall from now, yeah, that's true. It is a little kind of risky because that the younger associates don't have knowledge or experience. So I have the really, big, failure mistake, and that is also scary. I cannot,
No.
speak here right
No,
now.
but I understand
I
we
was
always
like,
we make
it is so
mistakes.
huge mistake.
Yeah, but you also learn from these horrible mistakes. It's not the way to do it. But these days, a partner will be the one facing the client, correct?
Case by case basis.
Yeah.
In our law firm, for example, with more people, with more resources, so we tend to have work together like a team.
Yes.
Sometimes that the first year associate can directly deal with the
Right.
clients,
Yeah. Coming
but
to
of
think
course,
of.
partners always, watching them and caring about. But
Sure.
it is different in my days, in my
Yes.
environment at the time.
Yeah. So
But
often,
it's good. Yes,
no.
experience.
Yeah. As the client, I've noticed. The partner might be leading the meeting, but there'll be associates in the room, or an associate may be the one doing the communications in between face-to-face meetings. So it depends what kind of team you set up, but certainly in the days that you were doing this, it sounds a little bit scary. And it's good to tell these stories though, these war stories, Madoka, because I think people these days maybe don't understand quite how it was and how much things have moved. So it's good for you to have told that story. Thank you so much. And I know was it while you were at that firm that you went off to the US to do some further study, or did you finish with that law firm and go and do further study?
Generally speaking, in the legal industry at that time and now as well, the associate who spent 3 or 4 years at the law firm kind of entitled to study abroad, like then take 1 or 2 years and have internship, and that's a really normal way of educating, training your lawyers.
Yes, is that
And
still done now?
yeah, still done now.
Right. And so what happened? You decided to go to the US, or you had a choice of where you wanted to go and which university you wanted to study at?
Yeah, you can choose which university you can study.
And you chose Harvard.
Yes,
Right.
because that I had spent actually 6 months when I was 11 years old in Boston, and it was such a nice experience for me. And I thought that I should be, come back.
Wow, that is really great that something is, when you were so young, you're inspired by that town and remember it really well. It's
Right.
not a town, it's a city, isn't it? So, wow, what happened? You went off and did your LLM there, but you didn't only do that. You also did a Master of Public Administration.
Public
And I
administration.
was
Yeah, it's
doing
so
a bit of
strange.
research. Is it a little bit like an MBA, but its emphasis is on public services?
Right. It's a little, strange career for a lawyer. And probably I was the first Japanese qualified lawyer attending at Harvard Kennedy School.
Sorry, did you just say that again, please? You were the first
Sorry.
Jap. No,
I
it's
was
great. I want
probably
to emphasize
first
it.
Japanese qualified lawyer to attend the Harvard Kennedy School.
Wow. That's amazing,
Probably,
isn't it?
because it's strange.
Well, it's unusual, but suck it up. Why
Unusual.
not? You know, why not be a bit different? How interesting. Why did you do the master or the masters of public administration?
Yeah, I wanted to be more like create some kind of a combination law or public policy. Well, at the
Really?
time,
Wow.
that was like a kind of my dream to do
Yeah.
that, and I was just struggling to find what is the best way to do. So I didn't choose MBA.
You could distinguish yourself differently to an MBA.
Oh yes, and I was not very, interested in that the business right there at the time. You know, it was like at around 2000, and that's kind of like IT bubbles.
Ah,
So it's like a
interesting.
lot of work, a lot of jobs, and a lot of, invitation from the investment banks and et cetera. But I was
Yes.
not very interested in it because I was in a finance law field. There was a lot of there are a lot of lawyers who went to that field, even a business side. But I
Right.
didn't have interest in it.
Must have been quite courageous. You're quite brave to do something different from everyone else.
Maybe, but I was single, and and I thought that I have time to spend like 1 or 2 years kind of freely.
That's really great. How was that study for you? Did you enjoy it? And then after you finished, were you glad that you chose that option?
Oh yes, that's a good question. The Kennedy School is a very kind of special and a strange place. The people graduated from that school is always wondering what to do, because it's not clearly defined. For law school or business school, the what you should do after that school is clearly defined. But not for the Kennedy School. And I thought, of course, I was wondering, should go back to Japan. So, should I find some job, because, I spent too much money in the US.
Wow.
And I thought I sold like a job like in a government relations. And it is really kind of starting point at the era. But I chose to be back to the legal field, but changed that field that I'm working.
Right. I really loved how you said that people who do that study at Kennedy School wonder what to do, and it's not clearly defined because so much of our careers or the way that we want to do something, people have an objective and make it very clear. But you're working kind of gray area there.
Yeah.
Has that kind of helped you though? That's preparation for the kind of work you do now or how you approach your work, that it's not always clear and the law is not clear a lot of the time. Sure, it might be under the civil code. You can look up a book and see the law, but sometimes it's not clear. So I'm wondering if there's a connection between that unclear, not defined study and to what you do now, how you are a lawyer right now. Is there a connection?
Yeah, I didn't know that at that time, actually.
Mm, right?
Simply, I didn't know, but I know that I should change from what I have done before, which was kind of a traditional finance law work or somewhat corporate. But I jump in that kind of a different field, like in an antitrust and trade,
Yeah.
which is more, relate to economics. It's more broader view or view from the kind of regulating the business, and what is the relationship, or what to what extent the government can regulate the private business, or the market. That was one of the key that maybe think back from now.
Exactly. It's
Probably
very
I didn't
interesting.
know at that
No, you
time.
never, I think we don't actually know until we look in the rear view mirror of the car and we can see, the connection, right? You didn't want to do economics so much, right? Or business, but now you are an advisor who can connect the government study that you've done, the relationship of the government to private and economy effects, right? There's
Right,
this
and law and
incredible
economy.
connection. Yeah, law, economy, and that government angle. You've been with Nishimura Asahi for an as an attorney, now partner, for what, more than 18 years?
Oh, yes, long time.
It's long and steady and consistent, and you know, you've been a partner there for just over 12 years, if my mathematics is correct.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
Wow.
wow, there's so much going on there. I mean, how was it? What can I ask you, how many women attorneys were there when you joined, and how the number of women
Oh.
attorneys, for example, has grown since then?
Probably that was less than, 30 or 40 or
Right.
something,
Yeah.
because I remember that at that time there was a, female lawyers gathering
Oh, I
at the
see.
firm.
Yeah.
But at some point we cannot do that because too many people in one room. So we just, just quit to do that.
Interesting, right? That would be too many to have the meetings, so you had to cancel them. That's interesting. That's a turning point.
Now we have 800 lawyers and maybe like 20% or 25 or so are female, I
Right.
guess.
Wonderful. It's changed a little bit. I know that some people will choose to listen to this episode. They can go and find an episode and they might choose this one because they want to know how Madoka got to be from an attorney up to being a partner in this one of the big four in Japan. How do you think someone prepares to be a partner? What advice would you give to someone who wants to get to what you're doing? Do you think there's some advice you could give, two or three tips for them? What worked for you? What were some of the things that you can now think about that really were significant to help you become a partner? Maybe one of them was working on that really big landmark case that you did that probably set you up really well. There's one on your LinkedIn profile, one on your law firm profile that talks about a case that you did that was landmark. Is it something big like that that makes it gives you a leverage to be a partner in a big firm?
What I can say is to kind of, work as a team, and probably your team member or your boss and, can help you out. And you can do to the extent possible that you can do, and don't kind of hesitate, or don't kind of limit your, resources or power to spend your work. But in doing so, definitely your team members or partners and can help you out. I was really lucky was that the people around me,
So the people around you supported you.
for example, like in my boss, when I couldn't do travel or I couldn't come to the office on weekends or night, he can replace. But of course, at the same time, you should kind of work from home or whatever that you can do.
Right. And is it something that you do that you put your hand up to ask for work, or should you be less proactive and wait for the work to come to you? What do you suggest?
Well, maybe proactive would be better. Because you can choose the type of work you're interested and you can do. But for example, like a very hard negotiation, for the big M&A, and sort of always continuing and day and night. That kind of work is sometimes it's very difficult for if you're raising young kids by yourself. So I, didn't take that kind of work, and I, wanted to be create my kind of expertise,
Yes.
and clear expertise, and with that you can kind of delimit yourself that in that kind of particular field, but you have definitely strengths.
Ah, yes, that's a good point. Yeah. Anything else that you wanted to add here for any tips or things that you would suggest work well or don't work so well?
I can say that at least for the younger days, Don't limit yourself. Many people would have some concern and worrying about what's going to happen in the future because you don't have child before you, but you're really thinking about the day that you will have, and maybe I should choose that the right way in preparation for that. But probably it's not the best approach because if you have now that you can, time and resources to spend in, you should do that. Then you could have a, good strengths, and probably you can utilize that, when it is necessary to choose the opportunity or time that you work in later on.
Oh, so are you saying it's better to be, rather than fixed mindset, to be a bit more open and
Open.
flexible?
Yeah.
So if you could leave the future generation of lawyers with one piece of wisdom or one learning or one guidance from your career, what would it be?
It's so difficult to find what you're interested in at the beginning of your career. And people are very always wondering, and sometimes I, blame themselves that they couldn't find it at the very beginning. But it's natural.
Yes, you're so right. It's
Yeah.
natural.
It's natural. So what I found that, after I spent like the 3.5 years as a professional and the 3 years for student, and then that I, with intention to choose it. But it takes like an 8 years for me to know my, my interest.
I think that's absolute gold what you've just said. It's gem of information because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to think we have to know what we want to do and where our interest is from the beginning. Some people do, there are some people who do know I really want to be a litigator. They may want to be in a particular kind of law, like family law, but it does take time. So I can hear that you are saying, give yourself some time. You may not know. You have to experience a few things first, and then you can work out what your interest area is. Wow, that's a great, great information. I hope everyone took that one in. So let's move a little bit because outside of the law or alongside the law, you do lots and lots and lots of things. I know when I think I met you, maybe it was last year in 2023, you were a panelist on the Women in Law Japan event celebrating International Women's Day. And that was the title of the Pathway Towards a Gender Equal Future. And I know in your firm, you are really big on diversity and inclusion, and you support lots of the firm's efforts in the areas there. Can you tell me a little bit about that work? I think there's a committee that you're on to support the associates and the editorial board of one of the newsletters. Can you tell me a bit about that work? Because it's really interesting what you're doing. As well as being a partner advising, this sort of work is really critical, I think, as well.
Yeah, thank you very much for asking. The diversity inclusion is a big initiative for our firm, and it is led by the specific council, and which is led by the other very talented lawyers and staff members. And I am on another different committee, which is in, coordinate their work and assignment, or sometimes variation, and training, human resource department, type of matters as well.
How can the lawyers on your level best help to support the associates? What can we do as leaders in a law firm to help the associates?
Yep. For this committee, like a younger middle level partner are in charge of, and because they know what their associate need. If you're much elder, it'd be difficult to know what's exactly the associates need now, and also you need some experience.
Yeah, a middle level partner knows because they're a little bit closer, right? They were not a, they were an associate not so long ago. So they
Yes.
understand, yeah.
And at the same time, you should know that what the structure of the kind of management of the firm itself. And it's a big firm. And we have a lot of the overseas offices and local offices, kind of big firm. So it's not easy to get to know about kind of management of, and consider like what's the direction that the firm would be going in the future. And that kind of things you should plan. And those level partners are doing so.
Right, and how about the newsletter? Because I think it's called Thought Leadership, and it's quite new, and I don't know that other law firms are doing a thought leadership. And I please tell me if you're listening and you have one. But I hadn't heard about this. So what does it do? What kind of new style is this that you are doing?
Yeah, thank you for asking. This is a kind of a new initiative started from last year, 2023. And our firm would like to be as kind of intellectual resources to provide kind of intellectually stimulus things, not only the day-to-day legal expertise, but how that these lawyers would see the society and the issues that the business will be facing on in the near future. This kind of thing, maybe we can express ourselves to the society. And that is idea came from top management of the firm, and I was assigned
Great.
to serve on that kind of committee. And it's very interesting. Because it's,
Yeah.
I'm a pure editor, and we discuss, with the team to find that what is another topic and who should we, ask to write on, and discuss with the potential writer, and based on the discussion, like a brainstorming, the
Yeah,
idea came out and
great.
that we develop. And it's a
Really
really
nice, isn't it?
nice things as an
Yeah.
editor.
Yeah, and I mean you get to see the other stories from other thought leaders in the whole of the firm, what other people are working on and helping them with their getting their ideas across, helping the group that are supporting the writing. It's really quite interesting. I think it can broaden your mind.
Yes, and we really stress on and diversity on that, because those kind of thought leadership could be only kind of delivered by very senior, renowned people, and in many cases in Japan, can male. We try to be very diverse because we do have that diverse, lawyers in your team.
I think if you were not senior but were asked to write something, it would be amazing and empowering for you to be a future thought leader, right? A current one, but thinking about the future of law and writing about it. That's a really great experience to have. Excellent. Is there mentoring also in your firm? Do you have a mentor system?
Yeah, we have for young lawyers, the
Right.
mentors for each one assigned.
When you're mentoring someone, what do you think is really key to be a good mentor, especially if you reflect back on your career and maybe there was a piece of advice or mentorship moment that had an impact on you.
Try to be a good mentor, to know about what the mentee situation and the issue that they have. But sometimes it's not easy to solve it because mentor is assigned from the different practice group from mentees.
I'm wondering too, because I know you also do outside work with the Dai Ni Bar Association, I believe, helping children in the community with SNS consulting. And I wonder if that kind of work also helps you to be quite a good mentor. Perhaps you can tell us about that volunteer work that you do.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That is actually started at the beginning of COVID-19 period, 2020.
Yeah.
It is a really voluntary initiative led by the small group of the Dai Ni Bar Associations. and to help out the kids who's kind of having pressure under the COVID situation.
Yes.
And it is kind of being developed, and it's now that formal initiative hosted by the Bar Association.
It's great that it's continued rather than, oh, COVID is so-called over. Let's, not worry about it anymore. That they are continuing to do it to support children.
Because the kids are, sometimes very difficult to consult with using by telephone or even in person, because they would like to, not be very open
Yes,
to
that's
adults.
yes,
This is so
absolutely.
hard, especially the kids with difficulties. So we use LINE SNS service. So on the no-name basis, it's easier for them to be open in conversation. Yeah, what I've learned from that kind of activity is that there's a certain group of people who cannot, express themselves. They cannot speak out to, I need help. So there's a certain group of people, and sometimes a very serious issue, like sexual abuse and etc.
How does this work impact you with the daily work when you're dealing with adults back in the office compared to this work online? Is there some connection there or some impact or insights that you get to help you do your daily job now?
The lesson that takeaway that I have is to listen to the counterpart it's saying, and not to put a pressure on them, then not to put your idea on them, but to listen to them, to learn about what they have. Concern, and in many cases they can solve by themselves. To listen to and make it clear that what the issue they have, what we can do is just to help that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, let's jump a bit, Madoka, too, perhaps thinking about what's coming down the line, the future of law. Do you have any ideas or thoughts or visions about what's going to happen in maybe your field of law or this legal community, law in Japan in the next 1, 2, 3, 5 years? Any thoughts about what you see happening, challenges or developments that might be positive?
The lawyers' field can be really expanded. So, not only the traditional legal work, but also like more advising or inspiring or connecting some resources to resources and with some kind of authorization, backed by the law. So, this expertise can be really expanded. Now I'm recall that what I sh you know wh what I'm always saying to the entrant to this industry, that think broadly and to experience the area that you didn't know. So that's always what I advise the people who just passed by exam and determined to join our firm, and they have some free time. And in that case, I'd always advise to so, because to law is in some cases very clearly defined area, and what should learn something to a certain extent to be a bar, because it's qualification, you need to have certain knowledge. But beyond that, you can have a broader knowledge and experience, and that will help you to make the world change.
Use that free time to build broader knowledge. Yeah, I love it. May I ask you what your favorite saying is, like a ことわざ or something that you say in English or in Japanese?
Well, The word that my favorite is actually originally from French. This is the term that I learned at my younger days, the elementary school and junior high and high school.
Yes.
I attended a school like Futaba. That's a mission school. They educate on the term that sample them more virtue, faulted them more devoir, which means that simple in my virtue and when solid in my duty. In Japanese, 徳においては純真に、義務においては堅実に。That is
Oh.
Japanese. My takeaway from this, and to be like an pure and simple when you deal with other people, you trust people and you'd be open to people. At the same time, you should be very kind of sure and solid in conducting your duty, what you do. So kind of work or studying or help people or trying to be kind of back to this word, because
Yeah.
then sometimes that you lose your way, in every decision you make, every direction that you should choose, and kind of very simple thing to be open and simple in your feeling.
Right. So just you may lose your way, but come back to the center. And this is like
Right.
your center, and you have alignment with this center that you craft things around, right? This is your words that keep you going. I love that. Well, I know you used to like reading books when you were younger, but have you read anything recently that you really like and can recommend?
What I can recommend here today is in English, Invisible Women. Maybe
Yes,
you know.
I do know. I've got it.
Yeah, that's a very intensive work that I just opened my eyes. Wow, I didn't know that.
It's an incredible book. So we'll put that in
Yeah.
the show notes because it's one book that everybody should have.
Right. It's a hard work and really eye-opening.
Okay, Madoka, if you were not a lawyer, what would you be?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to be a journalist when I was young. Go to the workplace and report on that.
Right.
Yeah, that's more probably one dream that I had.
And one other thing, can you share a hidden talent or something about you that maybe your colleagues or some listeners here might be surprised to learn about you that they don't know?
Well, when I was young, I was like an actor and an actress in my musical club in junior
Ooh,
high and high school.
nice. That's cool. Nice. I loved it. What did you do you remember one part that you played in one of the musicals? What did you play? Like, can you share that?
Yeah, I don't know, but the musical Me and My Girl.
Were you the my girl? Were you the main one of the main players?
Yes, a London musical,
Wow.
and I played the lawyer Purchaser
No way.
when I was 15 years old.
Oh my God, there you go. That's why you became a lawyer, not the Seven Women Lawyers TV program. This is why you were a lawyer in a drama. Well, that is so interesting. Thank you so much for sharing
Thank
all of that,
you.
Madoka. We've come to the end of today. It's been a really fun chat, and I thank you so much for being a brave person and coming on the podcast. I think it might be your first podcast.
Yes, this is really first time for me.
Whoa, there you go. Well, it won't be your last. I'm sure you'll have other opportunities. And this is also great that you're showing that it's an okay thing to come on a podcast and do a new experience. If people have been listening to you and interested to ask you something more, can they connect with you, say on LinkedIn or on your law firm website, email address? What's the best way?
Well, the email address or law firm website or LinkedIn is fine. I'm
Okay.
not much use, but I think I need to more utilize.
Yeah, you
That
should post an article today about, or soon, about your experience of coming on here and what it was like for you. That would be quite interesting for people to read about. But anyway, thank you very much. We'll put both of those contacts for you in the show notes. And we'd really love people who have listened to this to please leave us a review. It's really great when we get feedback on our guests and how you were inspired by what they told you. You can do that over at our website or on your podcast player. Thanks everybody for today. We'll see you on the next episode. Cheers, kanpai, and bye for now. Thank you so much for listening today to this episode of Lawyer on Air. I really hope that you were inspired by the story you heard and that you discovered something new about women in the law. Please subscribe to the show so that you don't miss future episodes. And if you can think of even just one person to share this episode with, that would make my day. I invite you to connect with me to talk more. Jump on over to LinkedIn or Instagram where you can find me, or send me a message via my website contact page. That's all from me today. I look forward to seeing you right here on the next episode of Lawyer on Air. Cheers, kanpai, and bye for now.